My name is Richard Phillips from the SEC Historical Society. It's October 1, 2001, at 9:25 in the morning, and I'm here today to interview Al Summer, a former commissioner of the SEC. He served from 1973 to 1978. 76. Al, tell us about your career before you joined the commission.
Well, I had been very deeply committed to the area of securities law. We had an excellent practice in Cleveland. My firm...
The name of your firm was what?
Talby Halder, Grizzle and Summer, when I left it. I was understudying a partner who was meticulous and careful to an extreme. He was mostly concerned with registration work because he represented McDonald and Company, that was the foremost underwriter between New York and Chicago. And we did a lot of registration work. So I was assigned to absorb what I could from him, and much sooner than I expected, he had a fatal stroke, and I was suddenly propelled into the position of the principal securities lawyer in the firm, and I was really scared because I was, as I say, he was extremely knowledgeable and extremely meticulous.
How many years out of law school were you at that time?
I was about 8 years out of law school, but I had really devoted myself to securities law for about 2 years at that time. And even that was sort of part of my time as a principal occupation. Well, I gradually got very interested in securities law, so I heard of the American Bar Association had a committee on securities law, and I wrote a letter asking to be made a member of that committee. And I got the letter, back a letter from the staff director, whose name I can't remember, telling me in rather harsh terms that one didn't become a member of the committee simply by asking. He had the merit of it, and he suggested an article for the Business Wire. And I had previously been on a program in Cleveland on securities law, and I decided to write an article based on that. I thought I could do it in a couple of weekends. It turned out to be over a year of diligent endeavor, and that was published in 1966.
And what was that article about? What was the title?
Who's in Control, SEC. And it was an effort to define control for the SEC statutes. I learned a lot of law I otherwise wouldn't have learned through that. I became increasingly interested in securities law. By then, this guy had left as director of staff at the ABA, and Neil Kennedy had become chairman of the committee.
And you became a member of the committee?
I did. I did, and Neil Kennedy was the chairman, and a lawyer who was a partner of Fried Frank had been the chairman before that. Harris. Paul Harris.
Yes.
Steve. Steve is his son.
And then you were active in the committee work?
I was active, and shortly after I became a member, Neil sent out a letter saying, in effect, that county issues were becoming more and more a problem, and he wanted volunteers to form a subcommittee on law and accounting. So eager people I was, I volunteered. The next thing that happened, he appointed me as chairman of the subcommittee. I didn't know what the hell I was doing accounting. But he suggested an article for the business lawyer on diversified problems of diversified companies from an accounting standpoint.
And he wrote that article.
I wrote that article.
And a lot of other articles.
And I became very immersed in accounting issues. That was the beginning of a fascination with accounting.
And you went on to become chairman of the...
Well, Dave Henson was the chairman of the section, and 2 days before my own father died, Neil Kennedy died. I went to a funeral in Chicago, and Dave Henson, after that, appointed me to succeed Neil Kennedy, and I became chairman of the committee. And thereafter, I was appointed to the council of the section and also the corporate law committee. I had been active in the Ohio State Bar Association corporate laws committee. Star,
yeah.
Are you still here?
Yeah.
I'd like a glass of water. And I would also take another cup of coffee. Anyway, that was the underpinnings of my career. From then on, I was, as I mentioned, I was involved with the Corporate Laws Committee of the State Bar Association and became chairman of that committee, which, again, was a great learning experience because I had to deal with problems. I was not dealing with in practice. Thank you. Sarah? Thank you. I did another cup of coffee.
Yeah. You ultimately became chair of the section, of the ABA section on business law. At that time, it was called business banking.
Banking and business law.
That's right.
Corporation banking.
And when were you chairman?
After I was at the commission, I was appointed to, or elected as secretary shortly before I joined the commission.
I see.
And that is the first step on the ladder that leads to chairman.
So that was 1973?
Yes.
And how old were you at that point? 1973?
I think 49.
49. And you were the senior partner and a name partner in Kathy Halter.
I was managing partner.
Managing partner. Fair to say you were at the peak of your career.
Yeah.
And you joined the commission as a member of the commission. Tell us why you gave up a lucrative and very active private practice. Joined the commission at a fraction of your former income.
Basically, I looked down the road and I could see nothing except if I stayed there. Nothing but one more involvement with civic affairs. I was very into the civic affairs in Cleveland. I saw nothing terribly challenging.
Mm-hmm.
In practice, I had been, as I say, for 6 or 7 years, chairman of the firm. I saw nothing but it very exciting along the way. So I decided to accept the offer for appointment to the commission.
And you were appointed by President Nixon?
Nixon. Yes, I always say my diploma was signed by Nixon and Kissinger, who was Secretary of State.
Right.
But I mean, it's really my commission.
And who was chairman at the time, if you see chairman?
Well, Ray Garrett and I were appointed the same day. We had our hearing the same day. We were sworn in the same day. He was appointed chairman the same time I was appointed commissioner, and he had advocated me as chairman, even though I was a Democrat. I advocated him as chairman since he was.
You two knew each other through ABA and other.
We knew each other very well.
Mm-hmm.
With the result that I probably had more influence over the events that the commission otherwise would have had.
And who else was on the commission in 1973 when you joined?
You wanted the senior commissioner, and he resigned. January 74, I think, for the Pollock was the place.
Mm-hmm. And who else other than Irv Pollock?
John Evans, who has been ranking staff member on the Senate Banking Committee, not a lawyer and economist, and Bill Loomis, who was probably the best selection.
Mm-hmm. And so there were two former staff members of the commission, Ray Garrett, yourself, who were highly experienced SEC practitioners in their late 40s, early 50s, and Evans. Phil Loomis was a former staff member along with Irv Pollock, right?
Staff.
Yeah. And
Evans had not been the HCC staff. He'd been on the staff Senate Banking Committee.
What was it like to work with your fellow commissioners and the chairman?
Well, Ray was infected with the notion that collegiality was something that could be sought. And at that time, we didn't have the government in Sunshine Act. So we really developed a high measure of collegiality. Ray did not undertake anything of major proportions without consulting the other commissioners. Often we would found baggage around the conference table in his office. We didn't have to put out any notice of the hearing or open up our meetings to outsiders. And the result was it was a very collegial commission. May have been the last really collegial commission that commission ever had.
And you attribute that to the Government of Sunshine
Act? I attribute the collegiality, the absence of from the Sunshine Act. I have always thought that was one of the first pieces of legislation I was aware of, and I think it, Senator Tower in the chairman's office and reduced the role of commissioners.
Yeah. Did the composition of the commission change during your tenure?
Only by the addition of Herbert Pollack in place of New Orleans. I was.
And did there come a time when Ray Garrett passed away?
Well, he resigned before he became ill.
I see.
And Roddy Oates was appointed in his place.
And that was when? 1975?
October 75. Yes. Again, a campaign was started to appoint me chairman. That time, Ford was president, and the personnel office told me that they had made a recommendation that I be appointed chairman, but Ford had the same hesitancy Nixon had with regard to appointing a Democrat. So they appointed Rod Hills, who was assistant counsel to the president.
Did the appointment of Hills make any significant difference in the way the commission operated?
Yes, it did.
What was the difference?
He was less inclined to consult other commissioners with regard to matters of policy and personnel. Rod was, in my estimation, a very minor league chairman.
Why do you say that?
Well, the one thing I had been told, he was appointed principally to get rid of him in the White House staff. I assume he won't see this.
He will not. And
let me go on from there.
Go ahead.
Rod was appointed instead of me, and he invited me to lunch before he was sworn in, and at that lunch he said that he did not acquiesce in the suggestion to be appointed chairman until he was certain that I had been rejected as a candidate,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was sort of gratuitous. I had a good relationship with him, and he always regarded me as the top technician under the commission, in the commission, because
mm-hmm.
he did not have a solid background in securities law. I always regarded Bill Loomis as the outstanding securities lawyer on the commission.
For purposes of context, what was happening in the government, the industry, the commission during your tenure, 73-75?
Well, the commission, the industry, the securities industry was really hurting. They were in a profound recession. Most of the firms losing money. I remember well Ray called me one day and said a delegation from the securities industry was urging him to meet with them. And this was again before the government sunshine. So we had a delegation that consisted of Paul Colton, Frank Weil from Dane Weber, and two other people from the securities industry. And their principal question was, how can the commission help us? And I articulated this, and then on behalf of the commission, we said our principal contribution to their welfare is the maintenance of a fair and orderly market. Well, they had in mind the banking regulators, who they contended were much more helpful to their industry than we were to the securities industry. And they came back another time with the same plea, for God's sake, help us. And we took the same attitude, that the major help that we could give them was the maintenance of fair and orderly markets.
What kind of help did they want?
Well, we wanted a lot of the enforcement program, particularly charges of fraud. At that time, the commission had very limited remedies, and most of the cases had to contain a fraud charge to be able to maintain them. That was what they were after, as far as I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of obscured what they wanted, but they had this notion that the bank regulators were much friendlier to their industry than we were to the securities industry.
Mm-hmm. But also, during your tenure, was Watergate taking place?
Was what?
Watergate.
Yes, it was occurring. Yes.
Did that have any impact on the commission?
I don't think it did.
At that time?
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think it did. It was the principal impact on the commission was before that, if I was there, when Bill Casey was chairman.
Mm-hmm.
He was charged with creating documents. Trouble.
What were the significant issues, in your opinion, that confronted the commission during your tenure?
Market regulation.
Market regulation.
The commission. Yeah. The securities industry and markets in accordance with 1975, and then.
Mm-hmm. And that involved the attempt to create a national market system.
Yes, it did.
Development of a composite tape.
Composite tape, composite glass, signal reporting system. I came in a nation with relatively thin knowledge of those issues because we didn't get them into the new practice much. That was mostly the practice of the New York and Chicago firms. I did have a strong opinion with regard to fixed commissions. I thought they were anti-competitive, negative in their impact. And I later learned that Dick Smith had advocated my chairmanship because of that posture, in contrast. Ray Garrett. Ray was in favor of fixed commissions. There's an interesting story there.
Mm-hmm.
Ray and I, for the first month I was in Washington before my family came, his never did. We had rooms side by side in the university club, and Ray, God rest his soul, was a renowned drinker, and every night he and I were in town, he would knock on the door about 10 o'clock and say, "Why don't we have a nightcap?" And frequently, if both of us were in town otherwise engaged for dinner, we'd have dinner together. And I would always bring up at our nightcap session and sometimes at dinner the question of fixed commissions. And my principal argument was not economic, it was political. I said the fixed commission did not take action on fixed commission. The Supreme Court or Congress would, and we would lose control of the issue. Well, the way the fixed commissions came into focus was the New York Stock Exchange had petitioned the commission for permission to raise the minimum commissions. We had public hearings on that, and the last day of the public hearings, which I think was September 21st of 1973, Ray and I had been in office for less than 2 months. We came back to Ray's office after the close of the hearing and said, "What are we going to do?" And I spoke up and I said, "Well, I think we ought to grant this request, but couple it with a decision to eliminate fixed commissions in their entirety." And proclaim a date as of which fixed commissions would end sufficiently far in the future to permit firms to adapt. He said, "What do you think? What do the rest of you think?" And Looms and Owens and Evans said, "I think that's a good idea." And Ray said, "I'll go along with that." And I've always contended there ought to be a plaque in the grill in the bar of the university God says, here perish fish commission. But that really where they did die.
Mm-hmm. And you did ultimately...
That May 1st, 1975, and in retrospect, nobody can appreciate how controversial that was.
Yeah.
I was, shortly after that, I was invited to speak to a SIA group here in Washington. It was not the SIA National Convention, but the... It was the Washington Securities Association gathering. And I can remember Bob Baldwin, who was the chairman of First Boston at that time. He was head of the SIA. And after I had made my pitch for ending fish commissioner, he stood up and said, Commissioner, if you and your colleagues persist in this course, you will destroy capitalism throughout the world. And I looked over my shoulder and see what this powerful guy was, who he was. And I realized he was speaking to me. And that was sort of the attitude many people had over that. Buzz Funding, who was a good friend of mine, was head of Fund Vulture, Vulture firm.
And that was a prominent D.C., Washington, D.C. brokerage firm.
He, to this day, chides me for my role in the unfixing commission. He was the last of those deacons, as far as I can tell, because I think we saved the industry with that action. One of my fervent recollections is the fact that the American Stock Exchange, probably a member of their board, I can't remember his first name, but his last name was Rantrett, who was a well-known economist, and he was their star witness. And I remember I asked him, I said, you know, Mr. Rantrett, I have checked your writings, and you have been a zealous advocate of competition in other industries. Why is this industry different? And he proceeded to bury me in academic arguments, none of which made any sense to me.
And I take it that was fixed commissions was the most significant issue confronting the commission. What are some of the other important issues that the commission was dealing with during your tenure?
Well, toward the end of my tenure, I persuaded Rod Hills to let me organize an advisory committee on corporate disclosure. And out of that came a lot of reforms. One of the smartest things I ever did was appointing Harold Williams to the commission. Harold I had encountered several times at UCLA when he was dean, and I was invited to speak a couple of times. I was very impressed with this guy, so I suggested he would be a member of the commission. my other people I designated a policy appointment on was Warren Buffett. And Mm-hmm. Buffett's persuasiveness and Williams' accession to the chairmanship of the commission.
And this is the Commission on Corporate Disclosure?
Yes, Advisory Committee.
Advisory Committee.
Corporate Disclosure. Okay. By corporation.
And that committee included Warren Buffett and Harold Williams.
Yes, it did. In the midst of his deliberation, Harold was appointed chairman.
Of the commission itself.
Of the commission itself.
Now,
he always attributed his later career to mine. Having interest in securities matters, I appointed him to that commission. He said out of that, through his chairmanship of the SEC and his later appointment to head the Getty Foundation.
Now, the Advisory Committee on Corporate Disclosure, what was the significant achievement of that committee?
Well, I think it was Regulation XX, which made uniform the disclosure required by the various acts.
SK, isn't it? SX was the accounting.
SK.
SK was the disclosure. You know, on disclosure
requirement. I had suggested that to Alan Levinson when he was chairman, not director, rather director of the Division of Corporation Finance. Before I was ever approached to the commission, and he ignored it.
Now, did you have any role in Commission policy regarding projections in disclosure documents?
We approached that by the Corporate Disclosure Committee. We approached that and concluded we should not encourage you. We only encourage you, Commission has previously given it.
Were there any other significant issues you recall confronting the commission during your tenure?
Well, I mentioned the problem of fixing issues.
Right.
I was strongly influenced by Bob Burton, who was on the staff. I wrote the article. In effect, saying that all other issues would drop by the wayside if you unfixed the mission.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a break at this point, and then we'll go on. Okay. We talked about some significant issues confronting the commission and your role in resolving those issues.
Well, another major issue was fashioning the legislation in 1975. We spent a lot of time on that, and we had problems with implementation after that. Was adopted.
This was the amendments, Securities Act amendments of 1975, which mandated a national market system and strengthened the Commission's authority over self-regulatory organizations. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And that was a significant development during your tenure.
Well, we spent a lot of time on that.
Was there an issue, a problem confronting the commission, where you think the commission failed Was there a significant failure on an important issue that confronted the commission?
I think I was surprised that the central market system did not develop more quickly than it did. I think, for instance, that statute mandated a review of all self-regulatory rules in terms of impact on competition. I thought we were much too lenient with regard to Rule 390 of the New York Stock Exchange, which forbade members to deal as principal with any stock that was listed on the exchange. They finally abolished that in the 1990s, but I thought that we really goofed in passing over that. And we should have been more aggressive in eliminating that other restraints on competition.
Do you have any other vivid memories during your tenure at the SEC?
Vivid memories of what?
Of issues, people.
Well, I thought Bill Loomis was a great lawyer. I thought John Nivens was righteousness personified, as was Irv Pollack.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Ray was a damn good chairman. It was less so.
Mm-hmm.
The staff was uniformly dedicated and worked extremely hard, particularly the period of legislation was being crafted.
And there came a time when you left the SEC.
Yes, I did.
And when was that, and what was, why did you leave?
April 6, 1976. The principal reason why I left the commission was economic. At that time I had three kids in college, two in college and one a private high school. Besides that, I had taken the tuition and moved board for my two nephews and my niece. So I just scraped the bottom of the barrel of my savings and decided I should leave on June 5th. My term would have been up, and frankly, I was hopeful the Democrats would get in office in the presidency, and that if I stayed around, I might be tempted to seek the chairmanship again. I had some really nice offers. Firms, one security firm,
and you joined first Wilma Cutler and then Morgan Lewis & Bockius.
Wilma Cutler was second. In Jones Day for 18 months.
Mm.
And then Cohen died. Lloyd Cutler said to me, we have a need for senior securities lawyer out of many years that passed away. Would you come over and head our operation? He offered me a handsome guarantee for 18 months. Morgan Lewis came to me and said, we have decided as a matter of policy to expand the Washington office into a full service firm. They offered me a handsome income plus a free hand in hiring and adding people. So I accepted that.
And you practiced securities law as a practitioner in Washington since leaving the commission in 1976. Now, and you've been actively involved with matters concerning the securities markets and the securities industry and the SEC. Is that correct? Particularly in the accounting area?
I was chairman of the Public Oversight Board for 13 years, I think. I was a member of it for 16 years. And I, prior to that, I was a public member of the ICPA. I was persuaded to go on the Public Oversight Board in 1983. I became chairman in 1986. I continued to be chairman until my illness made it impossible to continue. But that was one of the most satisfying endeavors I had.
Why? Well, why did you find it so satisfying?
It gave me an opportunity to build the POB into a recognized leader in the area of self-regulation and accounting. And we managed to insert ourselves into every major problem that came up.
Now, I would like you to step back, if you will. And how would you compare the commission during your tenure there and today?
I think it's much less collegial because of the Governor Sunshine Act. I don't think the caliber of commissioners has been maintained as often as it was when I was there.
And you, when you were there, all of the commissioners were fairly senior in terms of age and experience. Is that correct?
They were.
And acknowledged leaders in their field.
And what?
Acknowledged leaders in their field.
Yes. John Evans was the only person who was not familiar with British law when he joined the commission.
But he was an experienced in dealing with the Congress as a senior staff member of the Congress. Has the staff changed between the time of your tenure at the commission and today?
I would have to say it probably is good, or in some respect better. I was there. I will always marvel at the ability of the commission to grab senior people for senior posts. I think that's instrumental aspects of the commission's activity. Now,
what about the relationship between the commission and the staff then and now? Has that changed? But then, what was the relationship like?
Well, the relationship then was, as a director and a director, our new veterans, general counsel, assistance being very effective.
What was the relationship between the commission and the industry during your tenure, and has that changed?
I think it has, because the industry really has it.
At that time?
The unfixing of condition of the park as a city of Santa Monica Beach. I think they regard us as intruders into their domain.
And you see a difference between the time of your tenure in the 70s and now?
I think the industry is one time separate leadership over the commission.
You regard that as a healthy development?
I think it's a healthy development.
How about the relationship between the commission and the Congress? Has that changed?
I think it has. In Congress is less inclined to accept the authority of the commission and the expertise in the commission now on questioning Oscar. When I was there, they accepted the commission as authoritative. I think there's less inclination to do that today.
You attribute that to the fact that when you were there, the Democrats controlled the Congress, and now the Republicans do, for the most part?
It's made the difference.
What's made the difference?
I don't know. I don't really have any opinion on what these reasons for it are. A change of character in key position from the manage. At that time, when I was there, Clark Meyer was chairman of the banking committee. Bill Secchi was involved with House Committee, and there was a good relationship with both of those.
Now, it's been 25 years since you left the commission.
Incredible.
How has the commission changed generally, and if so, for better or for worse, and what would you do?
Has changed because the Government Sunshine Act has defeated collegiality, tested more power from the chairman, so more awkward to do business.
What would you do to correct it?
I would get rid of the Government Sunshine Act. Steve Wallman adopted that as one of his projects. He was working through the administrative conference after we appealed, but to tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on for the press. He was making headway on that until the chairman of the May Administrative Conference died suddenly, surprisingly, and shortly after that, the Administrative Law Conference terminated. So there was another of Steve's projects that came to naught. I think he was on the right course. I don't think they're ever going to repeat it, but put him in that sort of less cumbersome. Regulatory bodies who operate.
Let me ask you a final question. Are there some memories, some thoughts, some issues that you'd like to share that we haven't covered?
Well, we've covered a lot of that. I was proud of the committee and corporate disclosure. The people on that, which is near enough 10 years after the report was issued in November of 76, they had a reunion just about the time that the market collapsed. October 1987. That was the time of the 25th reunion, I guess. Not 25th, but 20th or 10th. And as a group, everyone came. This was demonstration in my estimation of a really integrated group that accomplished a great deal. A lot of regulations were changed, as I mentioned. I was foresight enough to point to that a future chairman of the SEC and ready to facilitate the process. They adopted regulation SK or other reform. I guess those were my personal accomplishments and stand out. I think I was a leader in eliminating fake commission, buzz funding, at least thinks I was.
Al, thank you for sharing with us the memories and thoughts of your very rich career, both at the commission and as a securities practitioner. Thank you.